Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Are you blessed this morning? Yes. It's so great to be in the household of God. You know, we use that word, household of God, because in this church, we're just an extension of the family of God. And God is our Father who loved us and sent forth His Son to die for our sins so that we could be united with Him, and that bond can never be broken. Amen? Never be broken in Jesus' name. So this morning, let's worship the Lord in the power and the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Let's come and let's lay down all of our problems at the foot of the cross. And let's worship Him in the freedom of the Spirit. Because whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. So let's worship in that freedom. Let's worship in that power. No one's going to judge you if you raise your hands. Amen. If you clap. Now, I can't clap on beat. So I have to watch someone else clap. But we are here to worship and offer our praise to the Lord. So let's worship the Lord this morning, and let's worship in that freedom because He has set us free. Amen. Lord, lead us to your cross this morning. Lord, we lay it all down before you. Lord, for as Paul said, I count all that I have lost as nothing compared to what I've gained in you. Lord, let us see life that way. Let us see life more than gaining and losing. But Lord, let us see our salvation through the trials and tribulations of this life. Let us see the picture of what you are painting before us, that despite this fallen world, despite our human fleshly nature, you have overcome the world and you have given us salvation through you. You have given us victory and you have called us and set us apart to love like you, to be like you in this fallen world. Lord, so lead us to your cross. Lead us to the understanding of your salvation. Lead us to the point where we lay it all down before you in love as you have loved us. Lord, as we come into this time of receiving your word, Lord, open our ears and open our hearts. Lord, let it be your word and not my opinion. And let your truth ring forth in this service this morning. Lord, bless everyone here in their families, and bless those who aren't here yet, but are coming. Make us vessels of your love and instruments of your will. Lord, it's no longer I that live, but you who live in us. We rejoice in that, in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. But it's great to be with you in the house of the Lord. I want to start with a quote this morning by R.T. Kendall to kind of bring our focus into what the purpose of this gathering is. R.T. Kendall says, "To be justified is to be declared righteous. To be adopted is to be made family." I don't know about you, but I've always wondered, why are these terminologies, these different words used to describe the one word of salvation, justified, righteous, adoption, redeemed, sanctification, the household of God? See, all these words and all these meanings gives us a picture of what Jesus did on the cross and what it means to be in the household of God and what the Lord did for us on Calvary, how it goes beyond just the forgiveness of sins. It is pulling us, redeeming us back into a relationship that is so important. The Bible talks about this relationship from old and new. And when you see it, you can't unsee it. So I just want to read to you a couple of scriptures before we dive into the message. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. The right. See, why would Jesus use that language? The right to be children of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And he says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. So we see and we hear this family terminology in the Bible all throughout the Bible. So this morning we're going to dive into the understanding of the family and the household of God and what it truly means to have salvation and to be rectified, justified, made righteous with God so we can fully understand our rights in his family and we can love each other as though we are family. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 17. Paul starts out here, he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Amen? Fear is gone in the name of Jesus. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So there's that word adoption. What does that mean? It means in the Greek, placement as a son. This is not emotional. It is a legal, relational term. So we dive deeper into this understanding of salvation. We've been adopted into the family of God. Now we have a right to say, Abba, Father, to cry out to him as Father. Keep that in your mind as we move further into this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So why is Paul emphasizing these family terms? Children of God. Then, not only children, but heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. These are wordings and Paul is using to describe something that goes beyond the surface level of our understanding of our sins are forgiven. Now, the blood of Jesus forgave our sins. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus, and he does not remember our sin anymore. But the forgiveness of sin is an entryway into something bigger, something important. And we've become heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now, let's look at what it means to be an heir. Because if we're thinking in our Western mindset, we're thinking to be an heir means to receive money, right? To be in a will, to be part of an estate, that when someone passes or I come to an age, I get something. And a lot of times we view our relationship with God as that, I get something. But to be an heir goes much deeper than that. To be an heir with God and with Christ means legal standing in a family. So that's another note. Put in your notes. Keep that in your mind. Recognize identity, a guaranteed inheritance, participation in what belongs to the Father. You have a legally secured position in God's family with a guaranteed share in what belongs to him. So Paul is describing something here that goes beyond what we think an heir is. See, you can be an heir and not even be with the family that you're an heir of. You're just legally tied to a piece of paper that says, when this person passes, you get this. But not in what Paul was teaching and thinking. To be an heir is to be in a family, connected to a family and have legal right to be brought into a family. So this morning, I want us to think like Paul. I want us to think like his audience. And I want us to see what Paul was writing and what the people receiving his words in the words of Christ, what their mindset was. Because when we think in their thoughts and their mindset, we begin to understand the Bible a little better. Because our Western mindset wants to think things a certain way. But if you ever notice, the Bible is written in a completely different way. Sometimes it's foreign to us. It's written in poetry. You have all this elaboration of things going around the main point. In our Western mindset, we want to think, get to the point, just tell me the truth. But Paul is describing everything that's around the promise of salvation. So that's what I want to dive into this morning. So because we're an heir, we're pulled into the family of God. So let's go to the scripture, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you. I'm going to throw a lot of stuff. But it's to give you a foundation into what the purpose of our redemption was, so that you can be equipped for the work of ministry in your life. So we are in the family of God. So I want us to focus on these certain terminologies. See, for you are sons of God. Paul is writing that for a purpose and for a reason. Through faith in Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We got to understand, we're putting on, we're clothing ourselves in him. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So right there, Paul is saying many things in those set of scriptures. One thing he is saying is, he is our identity. He is our identity. We're connected to God through Jesus Christ, and now we are sons of God. We are clothed with Christ. We are clothed in his righteousness. That means he gives us his garments. He gives us his clothes. He is clothing us because of who he is in our lives, the Father. And we belong to Christ, and we become heirs to Abraham, and heirs according to the promise. So all this terminology and all of this is describing a type of family that we have been adopted back into. But it's not the family structure that we know today in our households, that we understand today. So we have to go back and study and understand the framework of what Paul is talking about that was common knowledge to them in the time when this was written, in the time of Christ. So we have to go back to a family structure all the way back to Abraham. So let's get in our time machine and go all the way back to the time of Abraham to understand this family structure that God uses as metaphors for reestablishing us into his house. And this house is called the Beta of. So everybody say that. Beta of. We can say it. Beta of. Of means father. Beta means house. So if we're reading in Hebrew, it is right to left we are reading. The father's house. That's how the family worked. In that family structure, it was a family system. Your identity was in the structure, and inheritance was the framework that shaped all of Israel's life. And this Beta Av influenced from the time of Abraham. It went to clans, tribes, and then the nation of Israel. So when you see the terminology of family, sons of God, redemption, justification, all this is stemming from this understanding of the family. So let's dive into this and let's understand this. Now, the oldest male was in charge, complete control, and he acted like a king. Now, this is foreign to us. I don't know about you men, but I'm not in charge of our household. Amen? See, this is kind of foreign to us. But let's not take offense to the structure. Let's understand the structure so we can understand the wisdom that flows through it. So the oldest male was in charge. He acted like a king. He was the father of the house, and the father of the house was a spiritual leader, provider, protector, and judge within the family. So if we are looking at this, we're seeing the same description as God in the Bible. That's why we identify God as Father. That's why it was so important when Jesus said, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. He was reconnecting man to the Beta Ub, reconnecting us to the household of God through that terminology. And in the house, there was wife or wives, back in that time, children and sons and daughter if unmarried. And in that system, the male, the oldest male, capable male, was in charge and control of all money and possessions. He decides how it's used, and he takes care of the whole family and cares for their needs. So you may say, how does one person have control of all the assets, all the land, and he decides? Because there was great honor in that position, and it was even greater honor to bless those of your household. So if you had a need, you would go to the father of the household, and he would take care of your need. If you needed money, he would give you money. If you needed something to do, land, job, he would provide it. He would do it. He took care of his family. And that sounds a whole lot like the Father. Amen? Because Jesus taught this. He said, do not worry about anything. The Father knows what you need, and that he will give it to you because he loves you. Do not worry. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen? That reference is going back to the Beta Ub of how the structure of the Father worked in the household. Our Father in heaven takes care of all of our needs. Amen? He is in charge. And that changes the way we see giving, because now we give back to the Lord what is his so he can use it to bless others. He gives you your job. He gives you the food on your table. He gives you everything. But we, in our Western mindset, our identity flows from being an individual. In that time, in written in the Bible, your identity came from the household you were a part of. That's why Jesus said, Simon Peter, son of John. See, he was identifying Peter to his household, to that part that he was identified with. That's why in the Bible it says you are sons of God. It's because now you're being identified with the Father's house and his blessings, and everything he has now is yours. The oldest male was the heir. He would get everything from the Father and would care for everyone in the Beta Ub. So that's why we're co-heirs with Christ, because Christ is the sole heir, right? But when he died, and he died for our sins, he opened everything up. So now we're co-heirs with him. We're in the family with Jesus Christ. We're not on the outside. We're on the inside. And those on the outside of this household structure were widows, orphans, lost family members, and alien and strangers. Keep that in mind, because as you read through the scripture, you see that terminology used to describe us before Christ redeemed us back into the family. See, the first Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned, God kicked him out of his household. All the privileges of being in the garden, all the protection of being in his Beta Ub were taken away, and they were cast outside. That's why God said, from the sweat of your brow will you eat. In hard labor they came into, sin and death. They died because they were outside the household. And we, when we're born outside of the privileges of God. We're born outside of the house of God, but the second Adam came, amen? And he came to redeem us back into the household of God, redeem us back into his pleasure, his will, and his blessings. And that's why Jesus said, you have to be born again. We're born once into death, and the second birth is in Christ, in his promises, in his blessings, in his understanding. We're redeemed back. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. See that terminology? We're not outside, we're in now. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the richness of his grace. So every time the scripture talks about God's richness, he's rich in grace, he's rich in mercy, they are bragging upon the head of the household that he has so much grace, he has so much mercy, he has so much love that he pours it out and he doesn't filter it. He's not stingy. He's pouring it out to us because we're in his house, reestablished to the kingdom of God once again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, now therefore, you're no longer what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the what? The household of God. See, I hope it makes a little sense, more sense to you this morning of this terminology that we see in the Bible over and over again. We are being redeemed back into something that was lost. In the local church, so I always like to teach, how does this apply to us today? The local church is the extension of the household of God. And everything we do is for the Father. We own nothing. When you leave this world, guess what? You take nothing with you. So what are we holding on to? What is keeping us from coming into the household of God and serving him without reservation? How can we have all the privileges and the love of God if we're sitting outside the household of God? The church is meant not, it's not meant to promote me. It's not meant to promote the way LBK. This gathering is meant to promote the Father and his love for you. Amen? And we are here to love each other without condition, without limitation, because we are all family. And you are just as much my family as my own wife and kids. In God's eyes. So when you get to heaven, you're going to be surrounded by people. You may not be a people person, but guess what? In heaven, there's no such thing. Amen? There's going to be people coming up to you that you didn't even know, connected to you and loving you. And that's the way it should be on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Kingdom come. Your will be done. So why do we treat each other as strangers in the household of God? Amen? How many people do you truly know in this place? How many have you ate with them? Have you broken bread with them? Have you prayed with them? Have you just texted them and called them? Say, how is everything going? We're not called to live as individuals. We're called to live sacrificial and loving to all those around us. See, I just want to read the scripture to you, Matthew chapter 12, verse 49 and 50. See, this makes sense now, right? Jesus was teaching, and someone pointed and said, Jesus, your family's there. And he said something odd, but it makes sense now. He said, here, he's talking about the people gathered around him, listening. He says, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. See, now we get a little bit understanding of what Jesus is saying, because without that understanding, what he's saying is odd, right? But what he is saying is, when you come into my Father's house, when you come into him, we're all related. We're all family. And those blessings of the Father has been extended to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, the household of God, which is the church of the living God. So this gathering this morning is an extension of the household of God. You are his children. You are sons of God. You are co-heirs with Christ. You are loved by the Father himself. And anything you need, he will do it. Amen? Do we believe that? Or do we trust ourselves more than we trust the Father? Do we trust our own strength instead of his strength? Do we trust our riches instead of his riches? How much do we truly trust God? And how much are we truly willing to lay down at his feet so that everyone we come in contact with feels the love of the Father? You know, at the beginning of the new year, the Lord gave me this theme, welcome home. And the Lord began to show me and teach me what that truly means, what he wants it to mean. We want you to feel at home at the way LBK. But more importantly, we want you to feel like you've come back into the household of God through Jesus Christ. And that you're loved, you're wanted, and accepted by the Father. And that Jesus Christ, if it just would have been you that he would have died for, he would have done it. He loves you with passion. He loves you with purpose. And he has brought you into his household. Because guess what? When we leave this world, whose house do we live in? The Father's house. So church, this morning, it's a simple message, simple understanding, but it's a profound impact on our lives when we truly get it and understand it. That the Father sent forth his Son to redeem us back into his family. You're not alone. You don't have to figure this out on your own. God has a plan for your life. And in that plan, there's trials and tribulations, there's testings, but when we suffer with him, we are glorified with him as well. My vision for this church is that we become his church. We become the household of God so that everyone we come in contact with feels the love of the Father, the love of the Lord, and the love that casts out all fear. Let's pray. Lord, let this word get into us this morning. Lord, let it be a profound truth that begins to open our eyes to what the Bible says about you, that you've redeemed us back into your household, that you've redeemed us into your family, and that we can be called sons of God, children of God, and a co-heir with you, Lord. That's the gift we've been given. We've been invited back into the family, and now that bond can never be broken because it was set forth in you. Let every interaction we have, Lord, be one of love to each other. Lord, let us love each other in a profound and powerful way. And let us seek you above all things. Because we cry out to you, Abba Father, Daddy Father. We cry out to you because we have a connection with you now that can never be broken. At this time, I would like to open this front here, the altar for you. I'm here to pray for you for anything you need, anything you desire from the Lord. We're here to pray for you, and we're here to help you through this journey of life. So you're welcome to come to the front and pray as we worship the Lord. You've been redeemed back into the family of God. You are in his family. And nothing can snatch you away. Amen? Amen. Now, let us love. like we are in the household of God. Let us love because God is rich in love, mercy, and kindness. He pours it out. He doesn't measure it. He pours it out. So church, let's love each other in that same way. Let's pour it out to each other. Let's forgive each other. Let's restore each other when needed. And let's love like we have nothing to lose. Amen. If this was your first time here at The Way LBK, it was great to have you. We hope to see you again. We love you in the Lord, and we love that this church is the best church in town. Amen. There's no church that has nothing on us. Amen. We are a reflection of God's perfection. So Sundays are better together. They're better with you. So if you would like to stay and help us stuff some eggs for the kids of the community, we love that. We appreciate that. But thank you, Reckham, and have a great Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.